Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Michelle Gladio is an instructional designer, trainer, and executive coach, specializing in helping people raise their game as communicators. She has 18 years of collegiate teaching experience at three universities in her home state of Indiana, accepting her first adjunct faculty position at age 23. Her book, Communicate with Courage, Taking Risk to Overcome the Four Hidden Challenges, offers practical strategies to improve our professional and personal lives. She loves what she does, the people she serves, and it shows. Communicate with Courage, recipient of 11 major literary awards in its first year, and the author of Communicate with Courage, Michelle Gladio, is our guest on This Week in America. Michelle, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Rick. Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone. Let's think about how we can become better communicators in this segment.
Well, let's do that. And it's an ongoing struggle for all of us, isn't it? We never quite graduate, you say, I think, in the book, that we never quite graduate. It's something, an ongoing process.
Amen. And just when you think that you have a certain skill that you didn't have before, or you've got a problem licked, what do you know? You'll meet another human that will test you in a different way in that personal or professional relationship, and you'll find yourself back at square one. And that's the human condition, is love yourself despite the communication weaknesses, but keep on working on them. At least that is my solemn vow.
You'll learn in the book, Communicate with Courage, this will arm you, won't it? When you're in a situation and all of a sudden you're like fearful, and we'll talk about that here in a second, but you give us information to get through this. What was it about this topic that made you consider writing a book and then write one?
Well, I've spent the last 20 years as a full-time training consultant and employee and executive coach. So the kind of things I work with small and large groups or one-on-one with folks on have to do with emotional intelligence at work or customer communication or coaching employees or how to give feedback, presenting effectively, writing well, handling conflict. I think it's all the best stuff that life has to offer. And after about 20 years of doing this, I thought, well, I've now, I think, seen a lot. And I have more that I want to share in this lifetime than I can, a larger audience could be reached, I guess. I can't do this 30 at a time or one company at a time and get the word out. And because I've been blessed to get to walk alongside so many people from different industries and military and academia and nonprofits, learning from them, right, as they learn from me, and it's definitely an equal exchange, all of that custom training material and custom coaching material I thought could be gathered into a short paperback that people could read in, you know, maybe 2 to 3 hours if they wanted to go straight through, and they'd leave with some pro moves. And the pro moves, as I call them, are small, actionable things we can do that most people just walk on by, and they miss that opportunity to state their opinion or advocate for someone who can't advocate for themselves, or say, I love you, say, I'm sorry, say, I'd like my salary to be reevaluated. I think I might be worth more to this organization than what I'm currently being paid. Or I don't want to stay so long at the in-laws at the holidays. I mean, it goes on and on.
Yes.
But I think many of us get to towards the end of our lives, and then we're dealing with regret. So either way you look at it, you're going to face some tough stuff as a communicator in your lifetime. And I think the choice is between fear and regret. And if you can face the fear and see it as a friend, and know that when you're afraid, it's time to summon courage, then you don't have to live with the regret later.
The book is Communicate with Courage, Taking Risk to Overcome the Four Hidden Obstacles. The book is available wherever books are sold. Michelle Gladio is the author and our guest on the program. If you're Googling, that's G-L-A-D-I-E-U-X. Her website is gladioconsulting.com. All of this, a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You mentioned fear there right away at the beginning of the book. You talk about you intend this to be a bravery manual. And then we think about fear. It's something that stops all of us, doesn't it? Talk about bravery manual and bravery, brave communication.
Well, we can start with, again, recognizing fear as a friend instead of something to be avoided. Look at it as a tap on your shoulder. hey, anxiety is coming to the forefront with you right now, or you're stopping yourself from taking action as a communicator or even from being a good listener because you're scared that something will or won't happen. Once you feel the scared, then you know that it's time to find in yourself, because no one else can do that for us, some courage and take a risk, stick your neck out. I want people to take smart risks and learn how to take smart risks through this book that I'm really hoping is a timely book, but also timeless. Ideally, a very wide audience could learn from the tips in this book, because these are some truths that took me a long time to learn, and I'm out to save everyone else some time. So the book is filled with some of my favorite stories of real human beings. You won't find any case studies here about people who don't exist. You're going to meet people that I've known, that I've lost, that I've loved, and you're going to see through the way they've lived and communicated. And then, of course, some of my own mistakes, ways that you might be able to apply some of these pro moves to your own interactions in both personal and professional life.
That's why the book.
Yes, fear. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's why the book is so relatable, because you tell your stories there, what you had to overcome and how you went about it, how you're still going about it in some cases. So you really share a lot and you give us examples, and the book is very easy to follow. It's a book that you will read, you will have access to and go back to and refer to from time to time as situations crop up in your lives. And as I mentioned in the beginning, this is good for personal as well as professional lives. Talk about that. You mentioned a couple examples there when you maybe don't speak up, a fear of communication, personal situations. I don't want to go to the in-laws for 2 weeks over the holidays. Let's do a couple of hours and then head back home, that type of thing. This really applies to all aspects of our lives, doesn't it?
It does. And we can all start from a place of believing that we are as valuable as any other human being on the planet. 8 billion or so human beings. I would argue that there is no one who at the soul level is more or less important than you. I understand organizational charts, and you might not be the CEO or the COO. You might be the intern. You might be the newest person on the team, and stopping yourself from speaking up because you don't think you have the clout. And yes, we have to be respectful of power structures. We have to be diplomatic. That's the best way to go when you're being brave. If you can stir in some diplomacy, by all means, give people grace as you give yourself grace. But let's try to remember that we're equally valuable as human beings. And that way, when we do communicate, we're not talking down to someone, and we're also not allowing others to talk down to us.
There also is the companion guide that's available. Talk about why you came up with that. And that's really a valuable resource, isn't it?
Thank you. We just put it on the website at gladioconsulting.com. It's free. I'm really not that interested in selling the things that are on the website. I just want people to go access those tools, download them. They are e-fillable, or you could print them out and fill in your own answers. But it is a nice companion guide. And what I did was I just reread the book, and I pulled out what I think are the most heartening, the most impactful, the most helpful stories from each chapter. And then I ask the reader to reflect on their own life so they can begin to write some answers in and see how they might use some of these tips. Because what the book is really also doing is teaching us that there's more that we can do to improve a situation at home or work as communicators than we realize. I've lived my whole life hearing people say to my suggestions, oh, well, yeah, that's a good idea, but that won't work with him. He'll never change. She won't care. My employer won't do ... And I think, you know, they're right, Rick, because he'll never change. She'll never care. The employer won't do anything differently. If you don't do something differently, which would be get in the game and start looking at those hidden challenges and baby steps, just baby steps. You don't have to be striving at 110% all the time. No one has time and energy for that. I'm suggesting that we pick a few things to stand for as communicators. And when those things come up in our lives, that's when we give more effort.
And you take us by the hand, you lead us through the process and communicate with courage, taking risks to overcome the four hidden challenges. So let's talk about the four hidden challenges. This all sounds good. There are obstacles in the way, aren't there?
They sure are. And I've tried to specify what those are and then allow the reader to figure out where these rear their ugly heads in one's life. So the four hidden challenges are hiding from risk, defining to be right, rationalizing the negative, and settling for good enough.
Well, let's start with hiding. How do we know that we're hiding? Because it's probably something most of us do, whether we're aware of it or not.
Well, we're afraid to expose a real or supposed weakness. So we think others will see the chink in our armor. They'll see where we are not fully protected, fully ready, fully educated, or fully confident. And so when we are being wallflowers and trying to prevent others from seeing or hearing our perspective or needs or feelings, desires and wants, what we need to do there is decide that that is the tap on the shoulder from fear. Hiding from risk is one of those taps on the shoulder that we get from feeling afraid. And that means it's time to get clear on our values and decide to engage when the topic involves our values. And certainly one of those areas should always be how you allow others to treat you. And when we start to speak about ourselves as if we matter to ourselves and as if we love ourselves, generally we become more successful in every area of life.
Interesting. The book is available wherever books are sold. Communicate with Courage, Taking Risk to Overcome the Four Hidden Challenges. Michelle's website, gladioconsulting.com, will give you that. And we, of course, have it on our website. Obstacle number two is defining. Talk about exactly how we define and why we shouldn't define.
Well, we all do all of these things sometimes.
Yes.
Defining to be right is when we're so darn sure and we can't be persuaded to open our mind to think about how someone else might experience the world or that perhaps we might have been misinformed. And that the ego takes a hit when we are defining to be right. It doesn't want to have to deal with the admitting of guilt or admitting being wrong or being stubborn. So we put too much stock into our assumptions and we become quick to judge. So at this point, we need to summon some courage to test our assumptions rather than relying on them. And this gets me thinking about stereotyping and the various types of bias, unconscious and conscious, that humans are plagued with and how it's taught often generationally. So grandma and grandpa used to say this about this group of people, and perhaps that got into our heads as kids and we chose to hold on to it. What I'd like to see growing communicators do, people who want to leave a legacy of being a brave communicator, can admit that maybe some of the information they've received haven't been fair, haven't been true, and kick some of that stuff to the curb, which then allows us to celebrate when we have the guts to accept that our data was wrong or that we were misinformed. So we can notice role models. I like to notice role models who get really good at listening to understand rather than talking to win or be heard, because one of my, it's been several decades I've been working on listening. You know, I love to talk. Just from this interview, you can tell that. So listening is a very serious communication goal of mine. And I like to look for others who are good at the things I'm not. And then I take a page from their book. I'll benchmark, you know, I'll learn from them. I might even ask them, how did you get so good at listening, especially when you disagree? And they usually have some pearl of wisdom to share. So let's look to others to help us not be so defining to be right.
It is interesting when somebody disagrees, you can see their mouth being loaded before you even finish your sentence. They're ready to jump to engage. And that's interesting because do you find most of us are real quick to make a judgment? We hear something, we do a hot take on the scene. We have to come up with a judgment right away rather than thinking about it. And sometimes we get in big trouble by doing it that way.
Sure, but it kept us alive, I think, as humans evolved. I think we had to make quick decisions about whether we were in danger or not, right? And so as we evolve, perhaps we'll become better communicators as well. One of my favorite writers is Elizabeth Gilbert, and she says, you write about or you work on what's causing a revolution in your heart. And this has been sort of burning in my heart since I was in nursery school. And I recently, in a closet, at the back of a closet, I found a note my parents had saved, and it was from the preschool teacher saying, today, Michelle asked the teachers to step out into the hall, and I was a shy kid, so it's hard for me to believe I did this, but she wanted to tell us that the techniques we were using with David, who's having some trouble paying attention in class, that they would not work as well as perhaps another technique she wanted to suggest. I don't know if that was early, you know, I was already into classroom, interested in being a teacher and in classroom management or not, but I just sort of felt I felt it was necessary then, and I understand it now that everybody's carrying a cross. Everybody has pain, and we have all of the baggage that we've brought from all of the dysfunction. Everybody has dysfunction in their family, and everybody has dysfunction in their career. So if we can cut them a little slack, you know, maybe ask their intention state our intention, we can generally get to a more peaceful or at least respectful outcome.
What a great observer you were, even at that age, to sense what was going on and how you might be able to assist the teacher in getting through this and making it better for the young boy in your classroom. We have to take a break.
I remember my mom saying, you might want to look into teaching.
that went well. And teaching people, as you do with this book, the book is Communicate with Courage, Taking Risks to Overcome the Four Hidden Challenges. Our guest is Michelle Gladio. I'll be back with her. We'll talk about those hidden challenges. We talked about two. We'll talk about the other two right after these messages. You're listening to This Week in America. Welcome back. This Week in America, our guest on the program, Michelle Gladio. She is the author of the book, Communicate with Courage, Taking Risks to Overcome the Four Hidden Challenges. Gladio is spelled G-L-A-D-I-E-U-X. Her website, gladioconsulting.com. We've got all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talking about overcoming the four hidden challenges, we've talked about hiding and defining. How about rationalization? Is that something we all tend to do and to our detriment often?
Sure. I think, I don't know, what percentage of the population do you think is pessimistic? If we had to generalize and look at the 8 billion on Earth, how many do you think are choosing an optimistic mindset? And what percentage of us are choosing a pessimistic mindset?
I'm going to say probably most are pessimistic.
I certainly don't know. What do you think?
I'm probably more pessimistic.
You think so? Okay.
Yes.
Well, it's a choice. And that's something that folks learn about in chapter one. No matter where you are, you could be 100 years old, you could be 18 years old. It's a good time to analyze the lens through which you experience the world. And folks who rationalize the negative, or let's say choose pessimism, they often do that because they want to shield themselves from taking chances, like chances to say the hard thing or ask somebody for help. Or negotiate a better price, or apologize, and still love themselves despite their mistakes. So we often think things, and we're thinking things we're not verbalizing. And it's interesting if you were to maybe just jot a few things down you've said to yourself on the drive to work, or as you showered and got ready for the day, or as you were falling asleep at night. And some of my coaching clients actually do that, and we have the kind of trust that they can bring me those statements, and we have a really good time looking at each of those statements. And if there's negative self-talk, if they're rationalizing the negative about themselves and accepting it too readily, it's a nice relief to be able to cross out negative statements about oneself. So starting with self, are you optimistic or pessimistic? And then looking at the world, are you expecting the worst, or are you willing to work towards the best? And really, to overcome rationalizing the negative, to sum it up, have the guts to put some faith in possible positive outcomes. One way to do that is to visualize that tough conversation that you need to have with your coworker or your spouse or your kid or your friend. Visualize it going well. And perhaps you're going to start with something like, I'd like to speak to you about something. It's a little difficult for me to bring up. I appreciate you listening. I'm confident that we can get to a better place. And then give it a go. The hardest part is always the first 30 seconds.
How many times do we enter into what could be a very tense communication situation without thinking it through? We act too quickly without forming our thoughts. How often does that happen?
My hand is up.
I've done that before, and it's like, why didn't I take just even a minute to think about that? Because words count, and once they're out there, they're out there. So it's difficult to go back and erase those and start all over again. How important is it to think things through before we communicate?
Of course, it's hugely important, but I don't want folks to be thinking it through for so long that the meeting ends, or the dinner is over, or the phone call is over, and you haven't said, hold on here. I'm not quite sure how to say it, but something feels off to me, right? And you can find, it's okay. People will wait for your words when you state your intention. They often will, if they are respectful. And I also talk in the book a little bit, or write in the book a little bit about, there are the occasions where someone doesn't deserve to get to communicate with you anymore. And I estimate that to be less than 1% of the humans you're going to meet in your hopefully long and successful lifetime. But we do have to also know when to say goodbye and wish the person well. So not all conflict can be resolved. And that's why when I teach conflict management, I call it that. We're managing conflicts as we go. And if we can get a breath, oxygen has a lot to do with it. And I'm not very good at this because I'm very verbal and I'm passionate. And boy, if I think someone has wronged someone I love or they are stating something that's not true, et cetera, I have a tough, tough time not interrupting. But I'm working on trying to relax my body a little bit and see if I can't get a couple breaths in and wait until that person's done speaking before I come in with, for example, okay, that's interesting. I see it differently. Here's how I see it. That's one of my goals, literally, yes. To say, that's interesting. I see it differently, and then explain how I see it. Because my old MO was always, Rick, you're wrong, and here's why, which is just great for making friends and helping relationships, whether they're professional, you know, or whether they're romantic. Nobody wants to be cut off that way and then disrespected. But we have to look at our upbringing, our families of origin, you know, the way those tall people communicated when you were small, you internalized all of it. And in my family, there were a lot of strongly held opinions and people interrupting. And I was sort of the youngest, like the Cindy Lou Who at the table. And I learned very early, these people are smart. They're all many years older than me. And if I want to be heard, I'm going to have to come in here strong and I'm going to have to just stick my foot in. And then I got into the world of work and realized I was getting feedback from my bosses like, you need to cool it a little bit. You know, don't disagree with me quite so quickly and so openly. I would have rather you would have said that not in front of the full team. And that's what happens. Get out there and live a little. Take some chances. Take some risks as a communicator and you will be polished, you know, like a beautiful stone.
The book is Communicate with Courage, Taking Risks to Overcome the Four Hidden Challenges. We have one challenge left, and that's settling. And boy, how often do we do that? We settle for good enough. This will pass. I'll move on to the next project. Talk about settling and why we really shouldn't settle with settling.
Well, I suppose sometimes good enough is good enough, right? If I'm going to just grab a protein bar, run out the door, but I promise myself I'm going to eat healthy and have square meals throughout the day. Actually, that's a real life example. Settling's okay sometimes. Get some food in you. It's better than no food. Same with communication. Sometimes you just do your best, but you're not feeling your best. So if you had to give yourself a grade, maybe it'd be C+ as a communicator in this situation. We go back to our values. We think about what relationships are most important. And then we bring our best communication selves to those interactions, rather than being afraid and keeping ourselves out of the game as communicators, which is what settling for good enough is. It's satisficing behavior. And sometimes what we stop is just as important as what we start. So we could try to stop getting by and look at our values to help break that habit. And it's okay if your words don't come out perfectly. It's okay if you interrupt and need to ask the person to restart. We can keep telling the people around us, I have some personal communication goals I'm working on, so that they can begin to see us differently. But yes, settling for good enough is not something I want to see in myself, my loved ones, my coworkers. So in training events, sometimes I'll ask people to play the 1% difference exercise or the 1% difference game. And I ask them to write about the last interaction they had with another human, email, voicemail, text, in person, random every day, you know, Thursday at 2:30 kind of thing. And they jot that down briefly. And I say, now look back. And for the 1% difference exercise, please list one thing, one small thing you could have done differently or better to improve your communication. And it's so fun because people have their hands up in these trainings and they say things like, well, I could have picked up the call sounding like I cared. Okay, we all laugh. You know, that's relatable. I could have thanked the person, but I didn't. I could have used their name, but I forgot. I could have not interrupted them, but I thought I was sure I knew what they were going to say. I could have CC'd. I could have copied those who need to know or would like to know. Someone said I could have gotten to the point faster. As one person then said, oh, I'm different. I could have slowed my roll. I could have explained things a little better. I rushed the person. we hear things like, I could have sounded more confident, or I could have sounded less confident. I think I came off as arrogant. I could have gathered other people's opinions first, listened longer to let them diffuse some frustration. That's what's so beautiful about the world of communication. As you opened this interview, Rick, you said you never graduate. I imagine my last breath, and I think I'm going to be, you know, perhaps some nurse is bringing me my medicine, and I hope I'm 95, and I'll probably be thinking, oh, I should have used a different tone. I just don't think, I don't think you ever graduate. So some of these seminars I teach that are like mastering interpersonal communication, I hope folks know that after a 1 hour or 3 hour or full day event, nobody's walking out of that room a master. And the beginner's mind is just keep a healthy sense of humor about it. And all of your screw ups, we like to hear them. The people who report to you, the people who are in your family, we do like to hear about the mistakes you've made, and we can learn from you sharing them openly.
So nice to hear it's an ongoing process that you, who have written the book, an expert, you talk to people, hundreds, thousands of people on this topic. It's ongoing day to day, new experiences every day, but you've got that foundation that you write about. The book is Communicate with Courage, Taking Risks to Overcome the Four Hidden Challenges. I want to talk briefly here at the end of the interview about risk-taking. And you say decide whether or not the goal is worth the risk involved. If it is, stop worrying. There's so much in that in that little phrase there. Talk about that, because that's so important, because we all are like, okay, here's the risk, here's the reward, or here's the fallout.
Yes. Well, good things are usually around the bend when we face fear in communication and we trust ourselves to be able to adapt and learn. But it's also true that some people and some scenarios just aren't a good use of your time, and the risk does not outweigh the reward. So I thought it would be important to write a chapter 8 called Risks Not Worth Taking. And in that chapter, I ask the reader to assess, you know, where is my effort and energy going to be wasted, and where is it going to be most likely to return a good amount on my investment. So I advise against engaging with manipulative people. I engage with the reader about, please don't take risks that hurt more people than they help. Don't take the risk to BS or fake knowledge you haven't earned. And it's funny, my big brother Mark, who's a longtime advisor, 14 years older than me, said, read the whole book and said, you know, gave me a lot of edits and feedback, as did a lot of loved ones. But he said, you'll only use one cuss word in the whole book. Are you sure you want to use the word bullshitting? And I said, can you think of a better word for it? If I had a better word for it, I would steer clear. But one of the risks not worth taking is, of course, bullshitting, nagging, complaining, or moving forward before you do the due diligence to assess the consequences of your communication. So, and more in chapter 8, but you know, it's kind of like you go to your friend's wedding and you're going to be brave and you're going to stand up and do a toast in front of the whole reception hall. That's a good risk. I would recommend you jot a couple words down on a 3x6 or 3x5 index card or 4x6 index card, so you can stick to your time and get the story out. And don't take the risk of having a bunch of cocktails before you speak. Have the cocktails
yes.
after you speak. So we want to be, I want to empower all the readers to be more brave and take more risks, but do so smartly.
The book is so well done, a recipient of 11 awards in its first year out, major literary awards. The book is Communicate with Courage, Taking Risk to Overcome the Four Hidden Challenges. The author is Michelle Gladio. That's G-L-A-D-I-E-U-X. GladioConsulting.com is the website information there. Book available at Amazon, the usual places, and the companion guide is available at the website GladioConsulting.com. Michelle, a pleasure having you on the program. A lot of great advice here. This is a book, I think I said it before, you'll read it and you'll want to refer to it. Go back as you're facing real life situations. You got the pro moves, you got the exercise there. It's a book that you're a participant in, not just reading what Michelle is talking about. You're actually involved in this whole process. A pleasure having you on the program. Thank you for being with us.
Rick, you have spent so much of your life educating others and opening eyes. I am honored to be here, and I just want to thank you on behalf of the listeners who feel the same way but may not be reaching out to say so. We really appreciate you.
Well, very nice of you to say, and it's so nice to have people on this platform to share and to help and to guide and to instruct and to motivate. And you, I've checked all those boxes, so it's been pleasure having you on the program. Michelle Gladio, the book available wherever books are sold. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program, right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.